Isaiah 53 and verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Especially the word travail. Now I'm sure that you thought that it was an unusual reading for Harvest Thanksgiving when I read the chapter tonight. But as I was reading this chapter, that word caught my attention. And it is good if, when we look out on the creation, that we find our thoughts one way or another turned towards God. When we see the wonders and the beauties of it all, even in this fallen and cursed earth. But even better if we can look to these things that we see and try and see in them something which teaches us or illustrates to us spiritual truth. Because I do believe that the physical world mirrors the spiritual world. And the Lord himself obviously was very aware of that. And so because of that, he was so wonderful at using parables in order to illustrate what he was teaching. Whenever one then looks at a harvested crop, it should always turn our thoughts towards God. Not just in thanksgiving, but to think just a little bit deeper than that. We should think of the travail that is behind that harvest. Not travail of soul, but travail of body, of mind, and of will. Farmer has to apply all these things to his work. If the farmer is a believer, then he will go further even than that. He will surely pray over his labours, and that itself is a travail of spirit. Because he knows that ultimately the harvest rests not in the extent of his labours or in his own skill, although these things are important, but the result of the harvest rests ultimately with God. It is his to give or to withhold. And because he knows that, in the end, when he has done all, when he has put everything into his sowing and his caring and watering of his crops, in the end, he has to acknowledge, Lord, it is in thy hand. It is thine to give or to withhold. So, tonight we meet once again to acknowledge these things. To acknowledge God as the Lord of the physical harvest, as well as of the spiritual harvest. In both cases, it is in his hand. It is his to give or to withhold. What a great thing when we fully realize that and base our thinking and our lives and our actions on that great fact that God is sovereign, that all things are his to give or to withhold. So as we look on that harvest, what should our thoughts be? I think it should turn to travail. And for that harvest, somebody has had to travail, has had to work hard, because it doesn't just happen. If the field is left to the forces of nature, you know as well as I do what would happen. But with all the attention of the farmer, and all the care and all the labour and all the thought he puts into it, all that travail, because of that, and God's blessing, we have a harvest. And as we look out on the harvest, whatever it may be bales of hay or loads of potatoes or anything like that, as we look out and think of the travail that is behind that harvest, it should just, if we are believers, move us to think just a little bit further and think of the spiritual harvest and the travail that is behind it. And that is what we want to center on tonight. That is why our text is really, in one word, travail. The travail of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The first thing that we notice in this text is the confidence of the Scriptures. The confidence of this prophecy. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There is a wonderful confidence here. Now we must remember that this is a massive statement to be made 1,000 years before Christ was crucified. And yet it is spoken here with great confidence. No one can imagine how encouraging it would have been for the Lord Jesus himself to read that prophecy, to read these words, because he knew very well that it had a reference to him, that he would most certainly see of the travail of his soul and would most certainly be satisfied. It confirmed to him many other promises in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, which confirmed to him that in his travail that he would have his harvest. The farmer cannot speak with that kind of confidence about his harvest, because he knows there's so many variables and there is the hand of God. But here we have confidence about the spiritual harvest. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It enabled the Lord Jesus, when he walked this earth, it enabled him to say, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." Again, that same confidence regarding the spiritual harvest, he had the same as what he saw and read in the prophecy. The farmer travails in hope, but the Lord Jesus travailed in certainty. He knew that he would see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And of course, he knew that his Father, who laid it all on him, who set him up in this way from everlasting for this task, that he would enable him and equip him with all that was required. Jesus travelled in certainty. Now, we might run away with that and begin to think, well, in that case, surely it must have been a lot easier for him. The travel must have been easier if he knew that it was going to be, as we might say, successful. But it was travel. And it was travel more than any man had ever travelled. It was endurance. That word, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There was endurance there, and it was there to the limit. To the limit, but not beyond the limit. It was exactly right. It was sufficient, completely sufficient, to satisfy divine justice. He did it to absolute perfection. And we can be assured that the Lord did not punish him or lay any more wrath upon him than what was necessary and what was sufficient. Because the Father loved the Son. And in that travel, in that great purchase, in that sufficiency to satisfy divine justice, he purchased redemption for all his people. For all who will receive him, for all who will believe on him, for all who will receive this one remedy for sin, which God has provided in his Son Jesus Christ. All who will receive and embrace that, every one of them has been purchased, have been redeemed. Redeemed, as you must know by now, always has in it the idea of the payment of a price. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But there is more to it than that. It was also, and chiefly, it was travail of soul. He shall see, not just of his travail, but of the travail of his soul. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Meaning what? It meant the bearing of the wrath of the Father. That was what took place, hidden from human eye, in the 3 hours of darkness. The Father poured out his wrath upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And poured it out until that wrath was spent. Until it was exhausted and that there was no more wrath left. Then, thirdly, he shall see his harvest. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall see the fruit, the product of his travail, of his suffering. What will he see? You will see a multitude that no man can number, out of all kindreds and peoples and tongues. Who will they be? Well, you and me and all sinners who believe on him and receive him. He shall see them. Sinners. People like you and me. That is why our next point is so amazing and raises the question. How could he possibly be satisfied? What we might call a motley bunch. A bunch of inconsistents. And who just couldn't not sin. How could he possibly be satisfied? Because that when they see him as he is, they will be immediately changed. That will be the effect of seeing his glory. He knew that. Now there is a moment of moments, isn't there, there? And it was a moment which the Lord Jesus Christ must have so looked forward to. That moment in which he looks upon them and they look upon him and they are immediately transformed. They are transformed to be like himself. They will have upon them and in them his own work. The only thing in us that he can delight in is his own work. And he will see them changed into his own likeness. What a wonderful moment. What a moment of moments that is going to be. And especially for the Lord himself. I mean, when he knew it was coming. And even now, he waits and he looks forward to that fulfillment of his hope and of his joy. That is why he looked forward to it so much. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Because he knew that in that moment they would be changed. They would be just like himself. When you shall see of the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. That was the least part of what he looked for. Sorry, that was at least part of what he looked forward to on the cross. When he spoke about his joy. I think we have to be careful to remember that there is always, with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always another strand in his joy, in his looking forward to. And that is something which is rooted in that great and wonderful love which is between himself and his Father. And his joy, perhaps, without doubt, his joy of joys is to do the Father's will. To be able to say, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. But then there will be also this moment I speak about as part of the joy he looked forward to. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So, he knew what is to us a wonder. He knew that he would be satisfied. He knew that it would not be tinged with any kind of disappointment. Yet that confidence given to him in prophecy and in many promises. The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the great harvest. Looking upon his harvest and being fully satisfied. No farmer, however good his harvest has been, would ever have been so satisfied with his harvest as the Lord Jesus Christ will be with his harvest when that moment comes. He shall look upon it, he shall see it, and he shall be utterly and fully and completely satisfied. Let us try and look on natural things, looking for some spiritual truth to be illustrated. This is one good way to begin. We will tomorrow see fields full of bales of hay and things like that. Let it work in this way for us, to cause us to think of the Lord's travail. Behind these bales, there is travail. And to remind us of the Lord's travail, the travail of his soul, and to remember the wonder that he will be satisfied at the end of the day. He took us as sinners, even in eternity, when he received us from the Father. He received us as God. Then, at that point, he was not enfleshed. And as God, of course, he knew everything. He knew the end from the beginning. And he knew everything that would be in us. From the beginning to the end, he knew all that would be in us. Completely and utterly. And yet, he took us, he received us as his own, and he loved us. And having loved his own, he loved them unto death. So, here is the final fulfillment of that. And the same wonder as was there at the beginning is still there at the end. Sinners. For sinners. Not for the righteous. Not for the beautiful. Not for those who had any attractiveness in them. But because he will see them as his own purchase, and he will see them transformed into his likeness. What a moment that is going to be for him. How he will be glorified in it all. Seeing the travail of his soul and being satisfied. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that thou wilt bless to us our meditation, that thou wilt help us, Lord, to think spiritually in all situations, that thou wilt cause even the natural creation, Lord, to give up its secrets to us and to unveil to us illustrations of gospel truths, spiritual truths. Wilt thou bless us now as we continue together? Grant us thy continuing presence and enable us, Lord, to remember at all times whose we are and whom we seek to serve. Subdue us unto thyself and forgive us and cleanse us. In Jesus' name, amen.